said, wake up, Puff.
You got Fuzzy, Mac, and Kimbuff.
What?
Crazy Matt and Kimbuff in the morning.
This is Mix 94.5's Crazy Matt and Kimbuff.
Crazy Matt and Kimbuff in the morning.
With everything to do with the coronavirus, when we need leaders to stand up.
Absolutely.
And we also want to hear from them. We've got the Premier on the line, Mark McGowan. Mark, how are you, mate? There's a bit going on.
Good morning, everyone. Look, I'm fine. It's just, it's obviously very concerning across Western Australia and across the entire world, both health impacts, social impacts, economic impacts. It's a very, very difficult period.
Yeah, well, thanks for talking to us and always giving us the time, especially when it's important like this. Now, we've got lots of parents who have sort of been quite concerned about sending their kids to school and wondering why the schools aren't shut. Are they going to be?
Look, that would be a last resort. All the states are in agreement on this. In Western Australia, we have 1,000 schools. If you were to close 1,000 schools, you're going to have 400,000 or 500,000 kids at home. For those students, many of them won't stay home, so they'll still go out because they'll be teenagers and the like, and they'll hang around, and we won't know who they're mixing with, so there's one point. So they could actually make the situation worse. Point two, many of those children will have parents who work in supply chains or in essential industries or who are nurses or police officers or doctors who will then have to stay home and look after them. So we'll, in effect, hurt our hospitals and essential services. And thirdly, many of them, many families will get their grandparents to look after the kids. And the people who are most susceptible are the elderly. So I just think we need to be reasonable and rational here. If it gets to the point we have to close schools, well, then we'll do it. But I don't think we're anywhere near that at this point in time.
Okay, Premier, thank you. And look, we understand that you're between a rock and a hard place on a lot of these issues, but many of the countries that we would consider to be comparable to our sort of system and our way of thinking have certainly started doing lockdowns, including schools. Are we not going to follow their lead, or we feel that we're not in that position?
Well, as I just said, I think in many ways it'll make it worse. So if we want to have lots of nurses leave our hospitals when we most need them, we'll close the schools because lots of nurses have children of that age. So look, I just think it'll make it worse in the Australian context. If that changes, if the states all agree that needs to change, we will. But having said that, if students are identified at schools as having coronavirus, well, then that school would automatically close for a short period while we identified who that student had been in touch with, who needs to be tested and ensure appropriate cleaning was put in place.
Mark, you've been very busy yourself. We all have, but particularly the leadership group of the state and the federal leaders as well. But how about your family? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for a lockdown?
Look, I think so. My wife, we haven't changed our behaviours.
Right.
I'm just urging people, don't change your behaviours. Go and buy products and goods at the shops. I feel terrible for all these retailers and cafes and restaurants and the like. So we're just continuing to do that. I mean, you know, there's lots of people are potentially going to go bankrupt out of this,
of course,
literally thousands. So the more we consume, whilst there is not community spread of the illness, the more we go out and buy products and the like, ensure we engage with services, ensure we spend our money, the better our economy will be and the less people will suffer financial consequences. I mean, my family, my wife and kids went to the supermarket on Sunday to get some goods. And my daughter, who's 10, she told me that night, I was out at meetings and the like, but she told me that night that she was ducking into the toilet paper aisle, getting packets of toilet paper, running through people's legs and giving them to old ladies and old men who couldn't get in there.
Oh,
right.
She was, seriously. Then she said at one point she had three packs and she was being chased by, it's hard to believe, but she, her mother confirmed it, she was being chased by store staff. Because she had three rather than one, and then she hands them out to the elderly. So, you know, look, older people, that's why we've made the changes to the rules to allow older people to get in early.
Yeah.
So people can get in there and get their shopping done who might be vulnerable. I just urge everyone, panic buying is not necessary. There's going to be plenty of food. You don't need to do this.
It's making it worse for everyone. Now, Mark, you do say go out, support your local businesses. Obviously, we know that a lot of people are going to be suffering, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who are already saying, if I don't have to go out, maybe I shouldn't. So what is the best message to spread here?
Well, my advice to people is go about your normal business. I still want people to go to work. We've got to support our economy. I still want people to you know, all our hospitals to be staffed and all our power stations and our prisons and our police force. And I still want our small businesses to survive as best they can. My advice is just go about your business. If that advice changes, well, obviously we'll provide advice at that point in time. Now, lots of major functions are closing down. Look, I understand that. So, you know, lots of big gatherings in halls and dinners or, you know, huge dinners or the like. But I think for your ordinary business, what most people go about in their ordinary day, I'd urge people to keep doing it because I am just so distressed by all these people who are going to lose their jobs who work in cinemas or in restaurants or cafes. All these people have borrowed money. It is a very difficult situation for them.
Premier, my just on a personal level, you know, my mum's in her 70s and she has some chronic health issues anyway. And as we learn more about this virus, it's becoming clearer that the older you are, you know, potentially it can be more serious for you. In the UK, it seems like they're considering a lockdown for people over 70 years, up to possibly 4 months. Again, you know, I don't know if you have a definitive answer, but is that something that's been talked about across the cabinet table?
Well, I'm part of what's called the National Cabinet, so that's the Prime Minister and all the Premiers. So we'll be meeting this afternoon. That's always a subject for discussion. Obviously, if you have chronic health conditions, I'd be very careful. So people in that situation, naturally, I suggest they be careful. And, you know, for instance, when it comes to nursing homes, we still want families to go and visit their loved ones in nursing homes. But obviously, if anyone is showing any symptoms of an illness, they shouldn't go and visit their family members in nursing homes. So I think there's a lot of common sense can be exercised here, a lot of common sense. As we, as the situation changes or evolves, if we need to do more, we will. But just bear in mind, we put restrictions on people who have been overseas. They have to stay home for 14 days. We put restrictions on gatherings of over 500 people. Yesterday, we launched a major stimulus package for the state's economy for households and small businesses and the like. We'll continue to do more of that. But I think common sense should prevail. If you're unwell, stay home.
Yeah, Mark, on that financial point of view, the freeze on charges, for people not to be confusing that with charges being waived as such, because some parts of the, in some parts of the planet, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, so we put a stop to any increases in fees and charges. Obviously, if we say you don't have to pay your water bill or your electricity bill, you know, that's a quick way to bankrupting the state. And also, you know, there's no requirement for anyone then to limit their usage. You know, I'm a little bit concerned people might think that you certainly don't have to pay for those sorts of things. So, look, we're down to do what else we can. Whether it's further support for small business or households, further infrastructure and the like. State has, you know, we want to keep, but I'll put it this way, we've got to keep enough financial capacity so whatever might come down the track at 2 or 3 or 6 months, whether it's health costs or whatever, we can still afford to do it. So we've got to actually keep the state's balance sheet strong enough so that we can afford to do the things we have to do.
So, Mark, just to clarify, so you've put a freeze on the bills, which is just the increase or any increases over the next year, but what bills does that affect? Is that our gas, electricity, water?
Not gas. That was privatised by a former government years ago. Water, electricity, public transport, emergency services levy, public transport fares, things like that, car rego, things like that.
Great.
And just briefly, Premier, PCH, the Perth Children's Hospital, is there any information on families visiting and going to Perth Children's Hospital? Is there any changes to the way people can use that facility?
Look, I think they've blocked one of the entrances just so they can have better control of who's coming in and out.
Okay.
That's all it is. This hospital hasn't come down, gone into lockdown or anything like that, but apparently the north entry has been closed, so they can better monitor who comes in or out. Obviously, for kids, you don't want anyone who's unwell to be going in there, so I think it's just a monitoring exercise by the Children's Hospital.
Thanks, Mark. It seems very obvious by your demeanour that you're remaining calm. We think that's a key, and of course, remaining flexible, because it seems to change every day or two, doesn't it?
It does. I've got a hook-up of the National Cabinet, the Prime Minister and all of them this afternoon. That's been a good exercise, so I can hear the latest and we can work cooperatively across the country. What I don't want to see happen is states, you know, try and undercut each other in terms of how tough they can be or anything like that. I think we need a national approach to this issue.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Claresy, Matt and Kimber. The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. A work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti for Battery World.
So often a man with a work of art coming from that mouth. Dennis Cometti, good morning, mate. How are you?
Hey, it's on again. Good morning.
Dennis, they're trying to keep us apart. Company policy here at Mix 94.5 says we can't have any guests in the studio for a little while. Because
it's across the nation, actually.
It's across the nation. Yeah. We're trying to just do our bit to not bring down the announcers.
I take it personally, then.
But we miss you.
People who know have come up with that decision. So, no, I know there's a distance between Yokine and where you are, but I'm thinking of you and listening to you this morning.
Oh, good
strange
on you,
Dan. Strange balance this morning. Strange balance because so many jokes flying about St. Pat's Day. Mm. And, of course, the other side of the coin, very different.
Yeah, and Dennis, you know, if you're comfortable doing it, what are you doing anything in the Cometti household in regards to the coronavirus? Anything differently?
Well, I think I'm in the danger zone, so I'm a little concerned, if nothing else. No, not really. I mean, you just go on with your life, don't you? You've got to go out occasionally, and no, nothing untoward at this stage, but everybody is a little uncertain, like the football itself. We're talking about footy, but football itself is uncertain at the moment, not playing the game, but not knowing whether they're doing the right decision or making the right decision, really.
Yeah, it was an interesting press conference and announcement from Gillon McLachlan from the AFL yesterday, wasn't it, Dan?
Amazing times, aren't they? I was surprised they didn't cancel the AFL season yesterday, to be honest. But as we all know, a decision will be made later today. Now, as things stand, I mean, one player testing positive could effectively end the season regardless.
Yep.
But one thing is for sure, footy isn't a social distancing game. So it's interesting, too. I was thinking about spokespeople this morning, listening to you guys, and interesting that LeBron James, Lewis Hamilton, Cam Smith from Rugby League have spoken out against competing. The AFL doesn't have a high-profile player with a similar view, not yet anyway. Who knows? That could emerge. A player could emerge over the next 24 hours, perhaps, with a view contrary to the league's. We'll see. Depending on what decision they make, he could come from either side of that debate. Anyway, as I say, we will find out this afternoon if round one goes ahead. So the one thing you've got to consider, too, it's a big hit for the AFL. $400 million they will lose if there is no season at all. And most AFL players don't have income protection. So that's another thing I think that is really at the core of what they're talking about now.
And Dan, have you ever seen anything like this before in the history of football that sort of, you know, put a threat on the games like this?
Well, the airline strike, the pilot strike, back in the 80s, but it wasn't a national sort of situation like this. It was just a sporting problem in terms of those national codes. It meant that people travelling interstate probably had to use the phone a little bit more, but that was a different time. Nothing on the scale of what we're seeing now.
Dan, we have seen, we have seen over the years, mate, things interrupted by war, and we're in a weird position with the Olympics. I know you've covered many games over there, but they're still talking about Tokyo going ahead.
Well, that does amaze me. I mean, you've got all the countries of the world supposedly going to meet. I think that would be hard to factor in. I don't see that the Olympics can go ahead, but I'm no expert on that. I mean, it does a lot of good in many cases, bringing those people together. But things would have to change dramatically, wouldn't they, for that to happen.
Well, Dan, I believe you're going to hang on and talk to us, and we're going to imagine for a moment that the round one is going to go ahead.
Fantasy footy.
Yeah, parallel world.
it's funny how we can do that, isn't it? Everyone wants footy, I think.
Of course.
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah,
We need to talk about it.
All right.
If for no other reason than it's therapeutic. I'll just imagine myself lying on a couch. Go ahead, play some music.
All right, we'll do that. We'll get the traffic out of the way. We're talking, it almost feels like fantasy football at this point, because we're not sure what's happening with the AFL. Dan, do we imagine traditional rivals Richmond and Carlton at the MCG with no crowd on Thursday?
That's right. I went to the basketball the other night. There was no crowd, and that was really weird. So I can't imagine what these players will be going through, because it's new to them too, particularly this game, because generally they get about 80,000. So it will start off strangely when it starts off. But a lot of people will be watching around the country, that's for sure. And a teasing thing in all of this is that I picked the West Coast Eagles to win the premiership this year, something I've rarely done, but I've done that this year when I was asked, and now there mightn't be a season. I'm sorry to mention that, but I thought I'd come clean early.
No, you're good. Well done.
Well, you know, I guess we just have to see how it plays out, doesn't it? Because we all know the risk of if one person is infected and then, you know, that would be how many teams they've played against and how that could actually happen. But let's pretend that it's going to kick off on the weekend or on Thursday.
And the Eagles win the premiership.
Yeah. Imagine that. Fortune favours the brave.
I've just pretended that I won the $60 million Powerball. This is a great life.
We'll just make
it. About self.
Yeah. Oh, fantasy, I would imagine. But, you obviously see good things for the Eagles this year if the season does go ahead.
Well, I did until the last scratch match. I made the choice a little early. Anyway, I went early and watched that scratch match last week between Fremantle and West Coast. That was a shocking game, and West Coast lost. So I'm not sure what to take away from that. I think the season, though, will be a lot tougher for Fremantle. They've got, as is the case normally, a lot of injuries now. So I'm not sure, though, that simply by the season being cancelled, Fremantle will be happy with that. That's not the case, I don't think. But more importantly, they're trying to build a club. And if you miss a season, West Coast might miss a premiership, but if you miss a season and you're Fremantle, I mean, that just harms your development too. All clubs will be in the same boat. But particularly Fremantle, they're in an awkward situation. And if it were to be a season that goes ahead, then I think Fremantle certainly would benefit from that.
And those sort of pre-season injuries, I mean, obviously a lot of it's bad luck, but does it sort of suggest a poor pre-season strategy or regime?
No, I don't think so. No. I think people talk about players being injury-prone, that sort of stuff. I mean, the bad luck happens, but it seems to happen to the same players. And sometimes you think that might be just a clumsy style or whatever, or just plain bad luck. Tabiner got through the game, and normally he's one who gets hurt pre-season. He's going to be big for them. But I think Tim Kelly is the story as far as the West Coast Eagles are concerned. Now, it's make or break in many respects for the West Coast Eagles this year and next, going for Kelly. I mean, they didn't think about tomorrow, really. It's all about just this season. And, of course, so much has happened since they recruited him. But he's not cheap. He's getting over $4 million in salary. They gave up four draft picks, two of them first-round picks. So he has to do well for them because they've traded the future a bit for the present. Now, if there's no present, then that becomes even a higher price.
Yeah, it does, Dan. Is that added to the fact you've got Kennedy, 32, Hearns the same age, and Lewis Jetta at 30, and people talking about that premiership window?
Yeah, exactly. I think they've decided now is the time, and we'll sort out tomorrow when it turns around, you know, when it comes along. But, I think they put a lot of eggs in the basket that a basket they could have had, incidentally, for nothing. They paid all this money. Now, it's ironic, isn't it, that you would pay $4 million for a guy you could have got five times over for nothing.
Yeah, he's sitting at the Bulldogs for a long time, wasn't he? Yeah.
And if you're in private commerce, you'd probably lose your job for that. Just saying.
Yeah. So, Dan, as you understand it, at this point, the round one will begin on Thursday, behind closed doors?
Yeah, I said that 5 minutes ago. It could have changed.
Yeah, sure.
We'll wait for Gillon McLaughlin.
I'll get back to you. That's the case at the moment, as I understand it, but the official decision will be made very shortly, Eastern time, so we'll be standing by for that.
Okay, Dan. And just to clarify, you made the early call on Premiers, the Eagles. Where did you see the Dockers ending this year?
Well, difficult season. I don't see them in the eight, probably in the bottom five, I would think. But the signs have been heartening in the pre-season. So who knows?
And that AFLW, go Dockers!
Oh, yeah, Freo.
Oh, yeah, look at them. Yeah. Well, and Fremantle, of course, will be flying this weekend. So
yes,
that's making them sort of scapegoats very early on in all of this. Nothing new there.
Yeah.
Hey, good on you, Dan. We appreciate your time this morning. Good to catch up.
Okay. Well, next week I've got to kick the door in, so there better be access.
Okay.
Well, I hope we're here. Thanks, Dan.
See you guys.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
St. Patrick's Day for 2020 is here.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, and to you.
Are they finding it tough in Ireland?
Well,
how tough do you reckon? I mean, three Irishmen walked into a bar. Can I have a Guinness? They all said. They said, no, sorry, the pubs are shut.
The pubs
are shut.
It's
not a joke. It is not a joke.
They the pubs are closed.
All pubs in Ireland were asked to close from last Sunday.
I didn't realise things had got that bad.
Sorry.
Yeah, but look, we thought we'd try and have a laugh this morning, share some Irish jokes. Maybe you've got an Irish joke. Maybe you are Irish and they're your favourite jokes to tell.
Yes.
I don't know.
Would you like one from my childhood?
Yeah,
go on.
Did you hear about the Irish tug of war team?
No.
Got disqualified for pushing.
That's good.
We want to hear from you. 133353. Tell us the Irish joke. Okay, how about this one? Yep. Paddy and Mick are walking down the road, and Paddy's got a bag of donuts in his hand.
Yeah.
And Paddy says to Mick, "If you can guess how many donuts are in my bag, you can have them both."
That's cute. Hey, did Captain Paul use both of these this time last year?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I was just thinking about, as I was making you a cup of tea, why we still find Irish jokes funny. You know, it's not because we think that Irish people are silly in any way. It's just that that accent makes everything funnier.
I know. If I was better at doing it, I'd give it a crack.
Crack. You know, like, and it's the language as well. It's just, there's something about it. It's just very appealing.
It's like the Irish cyclone that caused $4 million worth of improvements.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brabham. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good. You got an Irish joke for us?
Yeah. How do you confuse an Irishman?
How?
Put him in a round room and tell him to pee in the corner.
That's very, very confusing for him.
Beautiful, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
133353. We want to hear your Irish jokes for St. Patrick's Day.
G'day, Eddie.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
What's the newest improved thing in Irish helicopters?
What?
Ejector seats.
Of course.
We heard that one coming from last year.
We really did. Nice one. Thank you.
Thanks, man. 133353. Mix 94.5. The lines are open.
Yeah, the Irish guy, a bloke walks into a bar and there's an Irishman sitting at the bar and he turns to him and goes, "Was it you or your brother got killed in the war?" It is a beautiful place, Ireland. I've been lucky enough to spend a bit of time there.
Yeah.
Doing gigs and driving around, and great people, beautiful country.
Oh, I'm feeling for them. They do love to get together on St. Pat's and have a big celebration, but they've been shut out of the bars because of coronavirus.
Well, you doing gigs or jigs over there, mate, or a bit of both?
A bit of both.
Nice.
Yeah.
We've got some jokes coming through too.
Yeah, we want to hear your Irish joke. Ashley in Wembley Downs, what have you got?
What do you call a fake Irish stone?
A fake Irish stone?
Stone. What is it, Ash?
A shamrock.
Oh, nice. Okay, I like
that
it.
One. Good. Thanks, Ashley. Well done.
Rachel in Janebrook, tell us your Irish joke.
Morning. What do you call an Irishman that bounces off a wall?
Sure.
I don't know.
Ricochet.
Hey. Ricochet. Good one, Rach. Thanks.
They're pretty cute, aren't they?
They are cute. Let's go to Warraloo. Matt, good morning. What's your Irish joke?
What do you get when you cross poison ivy with a four-leaf clover?
What?
A rash of good luck.
I love it.
Cute.
Well done, everyone. We needed a laugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, have a good St. Pat's Day. Get some green on you.
Yeah, laugh into your antiseptic wipe and get on with it.
The Irish authorities, the government have asked Irish pubs to shut down. They had big numbers in their pubs last weekend and they said they need to shut down because the numbers with coronavirus had spiked.
That's a tragedy.
They had gone up, so the pubs closed until at least March 29. Maybe extended, I would imagine. So, couldn't think of anything worse than St. Patrick's Day than the pubs being closed.
No, but thank you, Irish people, for not losing your sense of humour and allowing us to tell a few Irish jokes. I've got another one for you.
Go on.
Mm. Paddy went to the doctors and said, "Do you treat alcoholics?" And the doctor said, "Of course we do." And he said, "Great, get your coat on. I'm completely skint." Give us a call, 133353. Tell us your Irish joke. Tracy, what's your Irish joke?
Hi. What do you need for an Irishman at the top of a ladder?
What?
A stop sign.
Oh, dear. It's
Tracy. Oh, dear.
should we level it up? How does an Aussie take a bubble bath?
What do you got? How?
Sits in a pool of mud and farts.
So true. To Kelmscott. G'day, Taran. You got an Irish joke for us?
Yeah, mate. How you going, everyone?
Good, buddy.
One my dad used to tell us when we were at parties all the time, he'd say Paddy was on a construction site and at lunchtime he went to the boss. He said, my wheelbarrow's buggered. He said, the boss said, "What's wrong with it?" He said, "Well, it's making a noise. It's going..." He said, "You're sacked." He said, "What for?" He said, "Well, it should sound like this."
Cute.
Oh, that is cute.
Matt's looking at us like, I don't think he's going fast enough.
Work faster, buddy. Work faster.
Nice. Say a nice one, Taran. Beautiful.
Good on you, Taran.
Brett in Clarkson, tell us your Irish joke.
Yeah, good day. It's a quick one.
Yeah.
Why does the Irishman wear two condoms?
Oh, why?
Not sure.
Aye, to be sure, to be sure.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Gotta love it. Well done. Thanks, Bretto.
You see, we laugh at that, but that's actually really safe distancing in this day and age.
Safe sexual distancing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and we've taken our nice little photo of our green moustaches today for St. Pat's Day. Enjoy your day.
Pretty cute little pic, isn't it? Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. So we've got someone else to consider in our lives, either elderly parents or you're thinking about your kids and what you're going to do with them. And some parents have made the decision to not send their kids to school this week because there's been a bit of a ramp up over the weekend of coronavirus and people's fears surrounding that.
Yep.
And the schools have not shut down. Mark McGowan, we spoke to the Premier and he says schools are open for business.
That would be a last resort. All the states are in agreement on this. In Western Australia, we have 1,000 schools. If you were to close 1,000 schools, you're going to have 400,000 or 500,000 kids at home. If it gets to the point we have to close schools, well, then we'll do it. But I don't think we're anywhere near that at this point in time.
Seems to be what the Prime Minister is saying as well.
Yeah, and of course, that's absolutely a valid point. You see, you know, what do health workers do about their children? And, you know, they're busy looking after us. Who's going to look after their kids?
Yep.
But as I said to the Premier earlier today, we are looking at countries that we feel quite akin to, you know, Canada, parts of Europe, France, etc., and they have gone and shut their schools.
Yeah, and some of those countries seem to be more advanced in the coronavirus epidemic. They seem to have a bit more going on than us. And so we're a bit behind in that sense.
Perhaps.
So we can look to other countries. So we want to know what decisions you're making around sending your kids to school.
I think both are valid.
And that's right. And part of the argument from federal and state government seems to be, if you've got teenagers, they're going to leave the house. And that if it's a lock-in, you're locked in at home. You no one can leave, let's be honest. If it becomes that stringent, if it becomes that bad. So that's part of the argument going that one way.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you might start keeping them home this week and maybe next week. They're home for the first 2 weeks. But then if this starts to get worse, you know, what happens if the school's locked down in 4 more weeks? Have you got them home for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks?
Yeah.
So if we jump too early, then we've got another big problem on our hands as well.
I want to say this, but it's one of those situations that I know is kind of unique to us and people who do our job where you're listening to the radio in the car at 4:30 in the morning and you hear something, you go, I hope I heard that right. But my understanding is that a place like Hong Kong that had, of course, a experience with SARS, and when this all happened, they shut down schools immediately.
Yeah.
And I believe their infection trajectory is going down. So, you know, that's what they've done.
Yeah. And it's easy for me to say, you know, I could say, well, when my kids were school age, in this circumstance, I would have kept them at home. But my now ex-wife, so she was at home with the kids.
Yes.
So it's easier. She wasn't missing out on income. So
I know a lot of people who work in the arts industry and events industry that could look after your kids if you needed them.
They need a gig.
Don't envy parents at the moment trying to make a decision. And all of course, Mark McGowan, the Premier, is saying it's safe to send your kids to school. If we shut the schools down, there's bigger concerns of grandparents having to look after the kids and things like that, and they are obviously at risk. So we're trying to work out what you're all doing. Simon in East Frio, what decisions have you made about sending your kids to school?
Morning, crew. We're not sending the 3 kids to school this week. We're in a fortunate position that my partner doesn't work, so it's not going to cost us any additional.
Right.
And there's just too much uncertainty, and we're both firm believers in this whole notion of flattening the curve.
Yes.
And I don't believe we're going to flatten the curve by sending our kids to one of the most well-known germ incubators in the world, which is primary schools and high schools.
And I guess, look, Simon, you know, I'm only just learning this, but a lot of parenting is done on instinct. And I guess in these sorts of situations, if you are in a situation like you are where you can do it, you go with your gut.
Absolutely. And I think it's also pertinent to mention that, you know, the health, the education department has this Connect system. And a lot of kids are already having to submit their homework and the like through Connect.
Yes.
So, you know, the system exists for them to be able to maintain their studies, et cetera, and not actually physically be at school. So why run the risk? Why increase the curve?
If it's there.
Yeah, it's interesting because so many things can be done. I think even in workplaces, people are horrified to find out how easily their bosses can send them home to work from home. We're all wondering why we've been coming in.
Yeah, just tell the kids they're going to go home and do mathletics for about 8 hours.
Oh, man, know that feeling. Good on you, Simon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, g'day, Megan.
Hey, how you doing?
What's your story there in Wellard with the kids?
Well, I've got 4 boys. I'm a single mum, and my kids are disabled. My oldest has a compromised immune system, so I've made the decision that at the end of this week, we're going to be staying home for the next however long until this dies down.
Gee, that can't be easy, Megan. So you're a single mum. Are you working as well? How are you going to have someone to look after the four boys?
I'm just going to have to do it. Wow. I was studying this year at uni, but I've decided to withdraw. It's not worth it because my boy, he gets done essentially by a normal flu, and this is supposed to be 3 or 4 times worse than a normal flu. He's already got a short life expectancy. I'm not going to curb it just by sending him to school. So we'll all just stay home. And the school's offered links for homeschooling and things like that. They're going to offer as much help as they can. But, I mean, I don't like the idea of staying home and homeschooling for the next 3 to 4 months or longer, but if I have to do it to keep my kids alive, I'm going to.
Of course you would. Well done, yes.
The Prime Minister's language, Megan, started to talk about 6 months-ish. So then you're talking about September, October. That's a long period of time, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've got people that are constantly getting sick, you know, even though it's doubling week by week is what they were saying last night, you know, you've got one person starting, then they're coming to an end. The next person's starting. Mm. How long are we going to keep that cycle going where people are just constantly getting sick?
Yeah, and I think that's important. When we spoke to Premier Mark McGowan today, you know, he's saying remain calm because we don't want to create excess panic. No. And we've been very careful at Mix 94.5 to not do that. We've only been presenting the facts and getting people to chat about what their experience is. But, you know, I suppose he can't afford to also go, everyone pull your kids out because then it's going to have a really big effect on everybody. But it's sort of each to their own.
The bad thing about this is that it's going to affect the economy no matter what way you spin it.
Of course.
Everybody's getting different information.
Yep.
I've personally been told by doctors that it's ideal to isolate.
Yeah, okay. and that's obviously for your position too. It's obviously super important for your kids, Megan. So,
and if they were allowed to, they'd probably be telling everybody to do it. But, you know, they have to go off what they're told.
Of course.
You know, because legally, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble. But I don't see the point of sending your kids into a place that, like the last guy said, it's full of germs.
Mm.
You know, you can't guarantee that a child that's come into contact with one person or another person are not carrying this germ, even though they're not showing signs, because you don't show any signs for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, you look at kindy classes and the littlies, when they first, they're 3.5 or 4 and they can't even blow their noses, and then granddad picks them up. You know, that's
petri dish. I sent my boy into class this morning with a full mask, and, you know, he's looking ridiculous at the moment. and one child has just, like, coughed and started sneezing over right next to him, and I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah, it's tough.
Hey, Megan, good luck, and thanks for your honesty this morning.
Thank you.
Megan of Wellard joining in the discussion this morning. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, and I guess this is a time where you just do what you feel is right.
Yeah, and I guess we can all afford not to judge each other as well.
Yeah.
That's it, you know, when we're seeing people judging you for getting a bit of hand sanitizer or toilet paper at the shops, you know, just we all kind of, everyone's going to do their own thing, and we've got to work together as a community and not be jerks about it.
Mm. Oh, and if someone gets the last toilet roll, don't boo, please.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the
morning on Mix 94.5. Coronavirus is on the tip of our tongue. As you said, Matt, I should be tested. But it's a lot of people talking about it because it's the biggest talking point on the planet right now.
Yeah, and we've had a chat, haven't we? Like, we were wondering, do we just keep talking about it, or do we try and look for some distraction and deflection? But it's hard because everyone's talking about it, and that's all they're talking about.
Yeah, and I tell you what, like, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I know
Damn
nothing.
Straight.
I know nothing. But I kind of hope we go into lockdown because the behaviour that I'm seeing from the humans is far more scary than the virus itself.
That's true.
And it makes me feel like if we all just go into lockdown together, maybe everyone will just calm their farm, you know?
Possibly.
Maybe everyone will just relax, because at the moment I think everyone's on edge and so it's bringing out the worst in you, in people. And like, we got a message yesterday from a listener who said she happened to be at the supermarket and happened to be the last person to get the last 6-pack of toilet rolls.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Just,
and there's always someone who gets that last pack.
Yeah.
She got the last pack and she was booed by the people around her.
Oh, dear.
I mean, and that just makes people feel terrible. She hasn't done anything wrong, but people are just turning on one another.
That'd be like the person, everyone knowing that person's won that $60 million, what is it, Powerball or something on Thursday, and everyone booing them.
You know, I won't be telling anyone.
I'll be booing big time.
Well, you know, like yesterday, there was a woman who was in court because she stole some face masks. Yes. I don't know if you saw that story.
No, pretty high-profile story this
week. High-profile story. Mm. Now, we get it, and, you know, whatever was going on for her at the time to do that, that's not cool behaviour. But we've reached a stage now where it was less than $100, this what she took. I think there was a bit of hand sanitizer as well.
Yep.
On the news, this woman's coming out of court with a press pack.
Oh, wow.
Like, you
just
know,
all
shoving
the media.
Like, that was the biggest story in the city because someone stole, like, 12 face masks.
Oh, that's
it's a bit, you know.
That collective of journalists that never actually get an answer.
No.
Or they just get shoved by relatives.
That's, yes.
Seems to be all that happens. Now, I'm going to a funeral today, right? A few of us in the radio game for Paul Redmond. Redmond passed away, the old PMFM guy, and very sad. And, you know, we all go to funerals to pay tribute to someone. But I got this from Barron O'Day today, and it says, we received a directive from the Metropolitan Cemetery Board and Health Department of WA. They're required to limit funeral attendances to 50 persons at any gathering at any of their cemeteries effective from today, Tuesday, March 17. Changes the game completely in so many aspects of our lives.
Yeah, that'll be very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, and the families are disappointed. You want to pay tribute to someone and celebrate their life. And they're talking about options of, you know, maybe doing live streaming of funerals.
Yeah, right.
Maybe filming them and people watching them later.
God, I'd struggle to get 20 at mine.
Yeah, but I'd watch a live stream.
Would you?
Go, Daddy.
But look, tell us what you're experiencing out there. 1-3-3-5-3. You know, you might be getting some really terrible behaviour. I mean, the thing is, we know that once the media sees a story or someone films it on their phone and it travels, that might be all we're seeing.
Mm.
And
that
might not actually be your experience out there. But what are you feeling on the streets of Perth?
And let's be honest with each other. It gets harder to be the person who remains calm. You know, when you go into a supermarket and there is only 3 tins of spaghetti with cheese that I wouldn't normally buy.
Yeah, the ham one.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of going, well, maybe I need to take those.
You're frustrated.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you know, like, I haven't seen any bad behaviour in any supermarkets. People have been very kind to each other. But in car parks, it's a bit different. I had to try 6 times to get out of a bay yesterday because everyone was so panicked. They were driving past not letting me get out. You know, it was one of those bays with four-wheel drives around you couldn't really see. So that's changed. That behaviour's changed a bit, which is disappointing.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Standard shopping hours have been announced for the elderly and disabled, shopping from 7 to 8 a.m, which has just come in, which we thought was a great approach.
And we heard also there was apparently some special package for them if they weren't able to walk around the aisles.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true, but that sounds lovely.
You can try the service desk.
Okay.
And they put together, you don't get to choose what's in it, but it'll be a little, you know, maybe a bit of toilet paper, a bit of pasta,
I think
sort of stuff.
Woolies were leading the way.
Edible pet CD.
Oh, yeah.
Got
to eat something.
Yeah.
Our man Jack, we call him Whispering Jack sometimes, but Jack is on the streets of Perth. He's in fact at Subiaco Woolies. G'day, Jack. How are you, mate?
Oh, great, guys. And I must say, the line out here is steadily growing, but they have made a beautiful crescent moon shape around the entrance.
Lovely.
Oh, nice. Now, this is because there's the special shop between 7 and 8 a.m. this morning at Woolworths for those who are on a concession card, the elderly or the disabled. So you've got a few people there. Are they excited? Are they hopeful?
Look, I spoke to a couple of people earlier before, and they're just glad that it's happening. They can bypass all the panic that's been going. They're all chatting in the line, but they do have their trolley directionally facing, ready to go in. The crowd is actually picking up as we speak down here.
Now, Jack, I mean, you've been doing breakfast radio with us for a while, so you've definitely aged in the last few weeks, but you clearly don't look over 65. Are you getting any dirty looks?
Any booze?
Yeah, look, I did try to use my smart rider. It is government issued, but they said I still didn't have a pensioner's card to get in.
That's not going to happen, mate. Have you seen anyone come across from the train station? Because you're very close to there.
No, they've all been pretty wise and driven up. They've parked underneath from what I can see. They're coming up the stairs and the elevators. No walk-ins from the trains just yet.
Okay.
All right. Well, I hope they get what they want. I did see on the East Coast there were a few people saying they expected that when they got in there would be plenty of supplies, but there still wasn't toilet paper. So I'm certainly hoping that the stores have stocked with what these people need.
Look, as long as they're making a crescent moon, we're all happy.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Look after them, Jack.
And share some war stories, buddy, and all the best.
Thanks, guys.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Yeah!
Check it out. What's going on, Matt?
Well, you know, as a half man, which I like to refer to myself as, I have done this myself. You walk into a Bunnings and you look at all the, you know, high-powered you know, things that chop and munch and destroy vegetation, really, really dangerous hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And you think to yourself, look, I am unqualified to drive this.
Okay, all the macho stuff.
So what I might
just
do
leave with a rake.
Is get on the piss and have a crack at it, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, do you? Don't.
This is what men do. And this bloke in Romania has been, you know, he has actually been arrested. Mm-hmm. Police are trying to work out whether to press charges or not. After he accidentally chopped off his friend's penis.
Oh dear.
With a chainsaw.
I woke up this morning with a bad hangover.
Ooh.
And my penis was missing again.
Oh.
This happens all the time. It's detachable. I like having a detachable penis.
Well,
it's a bit different.
Romanian doctors are not sure whether they've been able to fix his manhood properly. Yep.
No, it would have been completely mauled.
Oh, yeah, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
It's not looking good.
Maybe not for the first time, but not as pleasurable.
So they said they had a few drinks, and of course you can imagine in Romania it's quite cold, so he was helping his mate chop some wood.
Drinking.
Having a few drinks, started going, ah, imagine if I,
Oh, no.
And they've chopped off his penis. And he said, look, you know, I feel terrible. I'm not a criminal, and I'm worried I'm going to go to prison, right?
Yeah.
And you know what happens in prison, like the first thing that happens when you walk in the door, it's like, what did you do? Because that's like, you know, big, well, I've never been to prison.
But from the TV shows.
As a half man, I hope I never do.
Yeah, as a half man, you're really going to struggle.
But imagine, you know, you walk up to somebody and go, what did you do? I murdered 7,000 people. What did you do? I chopped off my friend's penis with a chainsaw.
So disturbing.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe that would give you cred. I'm not sure.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Well, maybe some revenge.